The wind farm industry received another boost today with a peer-reviewed science paper debunking claims that living near wind turbines can make you sick. The paper is published in the Australian and New Zealand Journal of Public Health, and it examines the evidence behind the claims. Its lead author says the movement is based on a single case of a child with learning difficulties and that there's no medical evidence to back the existence of any new disease. This report from Environment reporter Sarah Clark.
It's been a big 12 months for the renewable energy industry. Earlier this year, the millionth solar power system was installed, and last year, wind energy powered the equivalent of 1 million homes for the first time. Now the latest figures show that in 2012, clean energy delivered 13.5% of the electricity market. Russell Marsh is from the Clean Energy Council.
Most of our renewable energy still comes from hydro, but we're now starting to see quite a large contribution from wind. About 26% of our renewable energy comes from wind. But I think the big growth area has obviously been solar PV, in particular household solar, where we're now seeing something like 8% of our renewable energy generation come from solar PV on people's roofs.
The council puts the growth down to the renewable energy target, which requires 20% of the electricity market to be clean energy by 2020. That, combined with it becoming more cost competitive with coal and gas, means renewables are increasing their share.
Research put out by the federal government, the Bureau of Resources and Energy Economics, has shown that right now renewable energy is one of the cheapest forms of electricity generation, and that's going to continue to fall over the coming decades, and soon will be the cheapest form of electricity generation available to Australia.
The figures come as another paper published in the Australian and New Zealand Journal of Public Health dismisses claims that wind farms can make you sick. The research examined the evidence for the condition known as vibroacoustic disease, or what's also referred to as wind turbine syndrome. Professor Simon Chapman is from the University of Sydney.
Claims which have been made by anti-wind turbine groups that vibroacoustic disease is caused by wind turbines mysteriously turn out to not have even a single research paper looking at that connection. The connection has been made from a conference presentation made in Europe some years ago, and based on the study of just one person, a young boy, whose only symptom was having difficulties at school.
That conference presentation, according to Professor Simon Chapman, was authored by a group of Portuguese authors who initially wrote the report, and since then, he says, the condition has received virtually no scientific recognition.
I think it's a highly interesting example of motivated science that has simply got out there as a factoid off the leash and is now being repeated by interest groups who are opposed to wind turbines.
The Clean Energy Council welcomes the published research. Russell Marsh is the policy director.
You know, we've seen something like now 18 international studies that have been done that have looked in detail at the evidence for wind turbine syndrome, if you like, and they've all concluded that, you know, as far as they're concerned, there is no direct link between anything that wind turbines produce and people feeling sick.
But there are still a number of groups who are convinced there is a link between illness and wind farms. The symptoms they complain of are nausea, insomnia and headaches. A Senate inquiry report in 2011 recommended more studies be done on the noise impacts of turbines. Gary Golan from the group Noise Watch Australia says that research now needs to be done.
I'm a medical researcher involved in physiology for the last 30 years, and basically it's a complex area. You need to look at the elements that do make the connection, and a direct connection, one that is measurable, to get a better understanding of what biological effects happening, to say that there are no health effects of low-frequency noise or other noise doesn't line up with the many publications that are in many journals for a long time indicating that there are health effects.
That's Gary Golan from Noise Watch Australia, ending that report from Environment reporter Sarah Clark.